Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander.
Looking great in your headphones, Will. Looking great. Anyway, this week we're going to prove the rumor that this indeed is a show about nothing. All that and less right here on the Dog Show Drive. Will, is that you?
I'm here, Wayne. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but with the headphones on, but I didn't know who it was.
I didn't think you'd recognize. They're kind of unnoticeable. They're not noticeable on my head. I didn't think. That's why I got the flesh-colored ones.
Oh. Well, the hair covers the whole thing, so I can't see them. But we've had some audio difficulties this morning, so this is why Will is looking really dapper.
Sporting that. I feel like I'm like, your landing gear is down. or break into song like Lionel Richie in the 80s.
Yeah, that's right. He did wear the headphones, didn't he? My brother-in-law, Peter Alaka, bless his heart, he's a big Lionel Richie fan. And we just couldn't think it's any funnier. I mean, it's hysterical. Yeah. He'll start singing all those tunes, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Now, I know you are a big Barry Manilow fan.
Barry Manilow, yeah.
You got all the records.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
So, anyway, Barry has a show dog. I don't think he does, but we're trying to make a segue into the sport of show. They tell us, Will.
Actually, you're correct. He doesn't directly have a show dog. His partner that he wrote songs with, which is, his name escapes me. I hate to say it, but he had Glenn of Amal.
Is that
right?
He
was one of the first Glenn of Amal exhibitors in America. I used to call him the guy of the mall. But I can't remember his name now. But he wrote songs with Barry Manilow.
Was his name Caroline?
Sweet Caroline. No, I don't know. You know we're reaching right now, don't you? We're reaching.
You know, can you imagine when these guys write a song like Barry Manilow writes a song, Sweet Caroline? He's probably not thinking, you know what, if I write this, they're going to sing it at every hockey game.
Did Barry Manilow write Sweet Caroline?
I don't know.
I think Neil Diamond did.
It was Neil Diamond.
He doesn't have a dog.
He doesn't even like dogs. But he's a showman, so the dog show part, we got that right in there. All right, let's move on.
We told you this was a show about nothing.
And we're going to prove that in spades today. There's no doubt. Anyway, we had some great fun talking about Westminster last week and gotten some wonderful phone calls and inputs and emails and all those things. Boy, you know, you just can't say enough about it. I think in retrospect, overall, I think it was a real solid yes on the site. Whether it could be used again, I don't know.
Well, I got so many people asking me if I for some reason are they using the set again? Oh, well, let me just check and see. Look, it's, oh yeah, they're using the set. I don't know.
I have the contract right here.
Call Donald briefcase. Up and say Donald.
Who knows? But yeah. One thing is for certain. No matter, we know this now, Will. We know this. No matter where it is, no matter when it is. It's going to be Westminster, and they're going to do it as beautifully and perfectly as they always do. They, every time you go, no matter what the facility is, you're going to know it's Westminster, and you're going to feel it, and it's going to look beautiful. So I'm done talking about all that and arguing with people about where it's going to be. It's not an argument.
This year was this year did come off really well. It got a lot of good reviews, so...
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And having the big arena was wonderful. The only thing is, you know, the arena was so big, they can never fill it. It's just enormous.
Unless you're Billie Jean King.
Unless you're Billie Jean King or Arthur Ashe, evidently. Yeah. But I'm not sure. I don't want to go there. We were talking earlier, ladies and gentlemen, about dead and alive. You know, we get to the point in our lives where Barry Manilow, you know, we don't know anymore. We just don't know anymore. Anyway, I'm going to Kokomo, Indiana this weekend, Will.
Oh.
to judge a Britney specialty and some other reads down
Kokomo.
There.
That's a song.
I don't think it's Kokomo.
It is Kokomo.
Huh? Well, there you go.
These things fast and something slow. Yeah. Yeah. Beach Boys. Off to Kokomo.
Why did the Beach Boys sing about Kokomo, Indiana, Will?
Because I think it was Kokomo, like Bermuda or something.
Like that. It's got to be. It's got to be. Listen to me. I'm from Kalamazoo. Well, I'm not from Kalamazoo. I live in Kalamazoo. What does that even mean? I don't. It's an Indian word about a Native American word about water going through town at one point.
Well, a lot of American cities are Native American words. Yeah. Like Milwaukee is Milwaukee, and I forget exactly what it means, but it's something about friends gathering or something like that. Yeah. I learned that on Wayne's World.
You did, and you live in Milton, Ontario, which is named after Milton Berle. A lot of people don't know this. The old comedian Milton Berle.
Favorite stop of Milton Berle's.
Oh, man. And I actually don't live in Kalamazoo. That's my mailing address. I live in Texas Corners. Now, trying to figure out why our logo is a shooting star. I live on Shooting Star Lane, and we live in Texas, Michigan? Isn't that like Rhode Island, New York? I don't know. Well, but here we are.
I'm doing a seminar in Washington, New Jersey.
Really?
Yeah, I had to look that up too.
Well, George Washington probably crossed the river down there.
Maybe.
And they figured with Milton Berle. They figured good enough.
Well, it is a song by the Beach Boys, but it's in Jamaica. Aruba, Jamaica. Oh, I want to take it. Bermuda, Bahamas. Key Largo, I think. Oh, it was in the Florida Keys. There's a place called Kokomo.
There is that go. Right? Well, there you have
there
it.
There you go. I just looked at the them.
You can all sleep easier tonight. Yeah. You can all rest easier.
So you might be judging in the Florida Keys. You better check.
I don't think I can drive there by Saturday. I don't think I can. Although, it's possible. Anyway.
Your best, Doc.
You see, we have a problem here because there's a gap in the hockey playoffs. So we can't talk about hockey. We could bring up the fact that the Panthers, I think Will just turned his microphone off and threw his headphones down. The Panthers defeated when was the last time a Canadian team won?
1993. And we're pretty convinced there's a conspiracy going on. And if you go to TikTok and Facebook, they're going to back me up.
It's probably true. Think about this. You've got Texas and Washington State and Florida and North Carolina, hockey meccas, New Jersey.
Who's left? It is Florida against Carolina.
Dallas, Las Vegas, Florida.
Dallas, Carolina. Las Vegas, yeah.
The desert.
And still 75% of the players are Canadian.
Yes. But the good ones are from America, like Matthew.
Because they're not paying tax.
Yeah. Oh, boy, isn't that true? That's why they all want to play in Florida. Anyway.
Anyway.
They all have dogs.
I think it starts up tonight, though. I think one of them starts
tonight or tomorrow. What day is today?
Today is Thursday. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure one of the games start tonight and the other one is Friday night.
Yeah. And the Dallas Stars, I'm sure there are people that love Dallas Stars. I have a hard time embracing a team with green shirts, Will.
Well, they used to be Minnesota North Stars. Yeah, and they had a green shirt then, too.
But they didn't have just green.
Yeah, Cheryl calls them. Yeah, they did.
Did they?
Yeah.
Cheryl calls them outfits. I don't like their
outfits. Well, what outfit are we going to wear today? Let's wear the green one.
And it's not, we're kidding when we said shirts. It's jerseys. But more important, New Jersey Devils tried to come up with a third jersey that just said jersey on it. And that was just funny, a jersey that said jersey on it. So they have hats that just say hat.
I never thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. It was pretty funny. Yeah. There's lots of funny memes about that. Anyway, the dog show thing. Well, we were talking earlier about a new ruling that came out.
Oh, yeah.
That is, it's like a big matrix of the world. They love matrix. They love charts.
people have a way with words and some people have not have a way, I guess. Right.
But the way it works is that this new ruling talks about when you can show to someone who showed a dog for you, or when you can judge someone.
Who use the services of an agent. What's the ruling? The rule is effectively, right, there's certain rule, policy, and guidelines, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't actually give the ruling, though, the rule number. Revisions to rules, policies. All it said, doesn't say a number. I think it says judges who use the services of an agent. If you use the services of an agent, instruct the agent that he or she, any member of the agent's household, or any handling associate of that agent may not exhibit dogs under you or any member of your household while in your employ and for at least 6 months after working for you.
So what this says is if you hire a handler, they can't show to you until 6 months is up. Because we all know
that's the breaking point.
6 months, you're a crook. At 6 months and one day, you're no longer a crook.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It could be an hour, Will. It could be six months and 1 hour. When that clock strikes midnight,
all of a sudden you feel free.
11:59, not a crook. 12:01, crook. It's very simple. Now, I think it used to be 3 months. I think that's why.
Yeah, three or 4 months. I forget. Yeah,
and they tried five, too many crooks.
I think it's four.
Tried
five and a half.
Yeah, they tried 5 months. They tried 5.5 months, still a crook. So they went with 6 months. And we all know that's going to solve the problem. I don't know. You don't show to me, and you haven't shown a dog for me in 8 years.
Right, yeah.
It just doesn't make sense for us. And it's the matter, again, of making sense. Here's what it doesn't address, and I guess you can't address it all. What if you hired this handler for 20 years? What if it was your handler for 20 years and they stopped showing dogs for you? You didn't have any dogs left. And 6 months and a day, they can show to you. And they were your personal agent, handler, person for 20 years. That goes after 6 months and a day.
Yeah, well, it's a rule. And the way I look at it is, well, obviously, you can't police integrity.
You can't.
You cannot police integrity. And a crook's going to be a crook no matter what way, and an honest person's going to be an honest person no matter what. Yeah. And it's all perception, and you're damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you think the AKC wants to write a rule about this? They don't.
Probably not. No.
Unfortunately, there are people out there that are looking to get any stupid conspiracy or edge or whatever they can. And as a result, they have to write something.
That's right.
But you can't fill the whole thing in. If someone showed a dog for me once a year ago, say a puppy dog a year ago, and I barely know them. They happened to do a pickup at ringside and someone was busy or something. And I paid them. That's a little different than someone who campaigned a dog for me for 25 years, 20 years.
Someone almost put a complaint in against me because I was walking my three-month-old beagle around. And you know how cute a three-month-old beagle puppy is? They're really cute. Everybody came over to see her, like everybody, holding her. But one of the persons holding her showed to me like 2 months later.
There's a rule for that. You can't hold a puppy.
Yeah. I almost got it. It was this close. Someone, I'm not going to put a complaint in, but you know what? That's against the rules. Really?
I don't know. I don't care. It just seems crazy. All I know is when you're like you, me, and many others in this sport, half the people in the ring, you're going to know their name. You're going to have had dinner with them. And I have no problem beating my friends when they have a dog that I like better. And that's just the way it goes. And if you get mad at me for it, you never were my friend in the first place, and I don't care. It's so much easier just to go in there and point at dogs without worrying about that stuff.
Yeah.
So much easier. Does it cross my mind that, hey, you know what? I've known this person for a long time, and I would love to do for them if I can. Yes, I'm a human being. That's what crosses your mind. Doesn't mean you point to them, but it crosses your mind. Man, I wish they had a dog I liked better because I really like this person. I really respect this person as a breeder, not this particular dog. That's just irrelevant.
And it couldn't be that there's just a better dog. And I did like that dog. I just preferred this dog today. Mm-hmm. And it's just, would I show that dog? Of course I would.
I recently had a choice between two people the dogs of two people that I really, really like and really respect as handlers, breeders, exhibitors who have dedicated their lives to this sport. And one of them had to lose. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
And it was a coin toss kind of, I don't want to say coin toss. Didn't we had a judge, I won't name him, got suspended for tossing a coin.
Yeah.
But it can happen where it's that close and that last go around, so you got a point. You just have to point.
This past show was asked to judge junior handling, because in Canada, you can choose anybody to judge junior handling, and mm-hmm. Dogs don't have to be entering the show. Well, they do, but kids don't have to own the dogs. Like, it's just, right. But they were doing a special Mother's Day version of dogs of junior handling. So I had peewees, like 4 and 3 year old kids.
Don't tell me you had five.
With their mothers, and they were dressed the same. And they would go around the ring, and the mother would, if there was a table dog, the mother would put it on the table and hold it. And it was just for fun. It was just, but they wanted me to pick a winner. I'm like, that's not fair. Like,
no, it's not.
And they didn't want me to pick one winner, but the kids were all just having fun. So that's what I did. I said, well, I'm just going to spin around, guys. Whoever's in my way gets to win. Whoever I point to when I spin is the winner. So as I said, you're all winners, and I'm going to just spin around, close my eyes, and point, and whoever is behind my finger gets the ribbon today, but you are all winners. That's how I dealt with it. And that's how I'm going to deal with a lot of my judging.
Get one of those little, you know, the little arrow things that spin around in a wheel. Yep. Like, I don't know what you use it for, games or whatever. That would be fun. Just flip it and go up. There you go.
When today, you're the winner. I remember those things you used to make in school, those paper things that they open, close, yeah. Open it and you had to lift it up. Oh. The Doberman. But that'd be a lot of work because you have to wait to see what's in the class, write them all out on the paper, fold it up, take it out the center of the ring.
Too much work. But I'm sure there's an app for that, Will.
Maybe,
I'm sure there's an app for that.
There's an app for everything now.
With the junior thing, I can say this because I don't judge junior showmanship. Yes, I was one. I think about was at the Garden, I'm thinking, man, I was in junior showmanship here many years ago. So was Eddie Zook. So was Bonnie Threlfall. So was Mary Beth O'Neill. So many, Donald Sturz. We were all in juniors around the same area of the country around the same time. And you just have to think about how funny it is that we don't even remember competing each other against each other in detail, but we remember, I'm not even sure we're the same age group. Yeah. We were all in juniors back in the same time. I think when I start judging juniors, which may happen, I won't do this anymore, Will. But what I do at there are other registries, breed club things, that I do get to judge junior showmanship without taking tests because I used to be one. But in those cases, if it's close, in my mind, I want to put up the kid that has, let's say, the least fancy clothes. The ones that dress too perfectly, they always win. You got to put up the kid that's got a hole in their knee or something, you know?
Because you know they're working to be there.
They're working to be there. Well, yeah. That's the point, you know? Their hair's a little messy because they didn't have their mother do the dog. By the way, when you said the kids dress like their mothers,
They're just matching. They didn't dress. They were just matching like a costume.
Okay.
You know.
All right. Because I didn't want the little boys to necessarily have to dress like their mother.
No, it wasn't that at all. It was
unless they wanted to.
The mother was wearing blue. The child was wearing blue.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I want to make that clear. For all that. But anyway, juniors has gotten so competitive.
Oh my gosh.
They're all so good. They're just all so good. I don't even know how you do it. They're all, you see those kids at the Garden? They were amazing. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
How you determine a winner. And you know, it's tough. You have to show your dog like the breed. But as a kid who struggled showing an English Setter at both ends, I wasn't very happy about the kid with the whip that just stood there with a piece of liver.
Oh, me too. Well, I was like that too. You know,
we're working our butts off back here.
And they're going show.
Yeah.
Show.
So it's a tough competition to judge anyway. But Maribeth, who just mentioned her more than once in 1 minute, has done an extraordinary job at that program. I mean, just an extraordinary job.
And they have produced some very good mechanical handler, like mechanically sound handlers, breed specific handlers. It's amazing.
Sure has. So. Yeah, many of our current exhibitors and handlers started in juniors. I know that. Well, anyway, we have to support that to get new people in the sport. But that's not the only way. We need to do more, and we need to all. We talked about that last week. If you see someone standing around that looks like they are new, go chat them up. Be approachable. We got to keep these people coming in, because once again, it's great to say our total entries are way up, but that's nothing to do with the number of dogs being shown. The number of dogs being shown is down. It's just that there are more shows to enter. So don't let that. They tortured the data to make it speak, Will. That's what happened. But the number of dogs being shown is down. We need to do something about that. Not you and me, Will.
No, we can try. Barry
Manilow. They've got to try. I mean, if Barry
Manilow. They could probably write a song.
You could. Yeah. Neil Diamond could too.
Please enter your dog. Do, do, do.
Sweet Borzoi. I love Borzoi. They're beautiful. I do. There were so many good dogs in those groups. The thing that made it different at Westminster, talking about the thing that I think was special this year, there were a lot of dogs that hadn't been campaigned hard or weren't number one or whatever that means, that were high in the ribbons. And well, the PBGV hadn't been out for long, right?
He started the year off as a class dog.
Yeah, and he's retired, as I understand.
Really? He was an older dog. I think he did a lot of winning in Australia and the UK. Yeah. And Janice had him in the classes when I was in Palm Springs in January. And he just struck me there, you know.
Well, I like the old school approach. Well, I like when you win the garden, you retire him. We did it because we're geniuses.
Well, it's hard to think of where to go next. And I understand that, like, the whole dilemma went in my head when I saw the Best in Show lineup. There were some young dogs in there that were just starting their careers. I thought, what are they going to do if they win? What's the next page? So like even David with his young Pekingese, but that was the perfect win for him. Reserve, because that's reserve, you know. There's still more to come, you know. But it's a hard call. My God, it's a hard call.
Well, the beautiful English Setter Bitch and the gorgeous Giant Schnauzer, they're new.
They're just starting their career
anywhere. Yeah. So if they won, what would they have done? Keep showing them. I mean, that's what I would do if young and that new.
Well, at that point, it makes it, you know, it's not fair to the rest of the fans. They get to see them for 2 months and they go away. Yeah. So what do you do? I don't know.
A dilemma, Will. A dilemma. We didn't have to face it. And we could have gone longer with Miss P. She was not old.
She hadn't been out.
Well, only showed her down here for a year.
Yep. Yeah.
So she certainly could have been shown to shatter records, whatever people do. But no sense to it, in my opinion.
I remember that day when we entered the garden, entered Westminster. I remember talking about it, saying, this is going to be win, lose, or draw. This is going to be your last show.
That's the way you do it. That's the way you do it. But
we all sat, we all got around with them. We agreed on it. And that just worked out well, Wade.
It did. And we all felt sorry for you because you were your knees and your elbows and your headphones, they all look like they need some work. We didn't want to press it.
Your landing gear is down.
No, that was the right move at the time for sure. But it's so personal. And that was our choice at that time. And it worked out real well. And just to catch up, it was a beagle that Will showed named Miss P that if you haven't heard of her, you probably haven't been around. We don't want to keep throwing things out there like you all know that we were involved. So there you have it. Now, this time, we've got to worry about who pets our puppies. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Who pets our puppies?
Yeah. Well, you just did talk about that, didn't you? About your puppy being picked up.
We did talk about that. Yeah.
See, we get confused about what we talked about before we hit record.
Yeah, because we have a hour or half hour where we just sit and we plan out every word. No, we don't. We sit and we just chat and we talk about nothing, and we should probably record it and have Doc edit it and keep the good stuff and throw the bad stuff away.
The funniest part is this is the truth, ladies and gentlemen. We talk for a good hour before we hit record, and we I think we're supposed to be talking about what we're going to talk about. We never do. And at the end of that conversation, we always say, do you have anything you want to talk about? And no. The answer is no. It's just not.
Where are we? So we get recorded anyway. I can't remember where I was.
And that's what you get. That's what you get.
Actually, I know. I was in the COA Kennel Club. Was it this weekend? In Thorold, Ontario. Was that this weekend? No. Where was I last weekend? Anyway. Oh, gosh. Isn't that awful? I'm not looking back at my calendar. I was in the Forest City Kennel Club in Belmont, Ontario. But we had a special guest at both shows. Mr. Jim Moses was at both shows this past 2 weeks, showing his own dog, getting her a Canadian championship so he can move her up to specials at the Canadian National, apparently. So that it was great to see Jim there. And Jim used to show in Canada when he was younger. He was 19, I want to say 63 or 66. He was top dog all breed when he was a youngster. I don't know how young he was, probably 10. But he was top dog all breed with a German Shepherd named Avenger, owned by Heather Logan in Canada in the 60s.
That's really cool. I did not know that.
Yeah, he was up visiting his brother. His brother lives in Niagara Falls, and he was up visiting his brother. So he brought his dog along, and he showed for 2 weekends, and it was great seeing him. We chatted for a lot, and I always loved it too because we'd be sitting there talking. Then I'd go back to my setup, and someone say, "Were you just talking to Jim Moses?" Is that Jim Moses? What's he doing here? And all the top herding dogs in the country are all like, "Oh no, go! Oh no, was that Jim Moses?"
Oh, but did you say Niagara Falls, Will?
Yeah,
Niagara Falls. Slowly I turn.
Oh, here he goes.
Anyway, yeah, you know, I love what that Jim can do. That he's, I mean, I don't know. Is there anybody ever going to be more talented? But I love that he can get out there and show dog. And especially up in Canada, he's not insulting anybody. When you're a judge, you've got to make that call.
Oh, God, yeah.
And there's a rule that's not written that should be in people's heads as a common sense guideline. Do you show 2 weekends in a row and judge 2 weekends after? Is that 6 months in a day? How's that work? There's no rule for it, but you've got to make up your mind if you're going to be a handler or a judge. And Jim's done it right. You go to another country, you bring your own dog and you do it. And you've done it too. You show your own dog that lives in your house. Yeah. And you're cautious about it. You don't do it in your area, right?
I show in my own area.
Right.
And I try to judge elsewhere. Now, obviously, there's permit assignments. When you're a permit judge, you don't want to travel too far because it comes out of your own pocket.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it just depends. And it's where you live. It's personal and all that stuff. But there are people who have campaigned a bunch of dogs and judged in between. And that in certain parts of the world, in certain situations, that can look funny. So, Annie did it. She would bring out a poodle for the garden every year that she bred. And that looks great. I think that's cool. Well, you're still a breeder.
When I first started judging and showing my own dogs, I was at, well, you got to make up your mind, Will. You got to make up your mind. You got to either just be a judge or show your dogs. I said, well, if I'm just going to be a judge this year, I have 3 assignments. So I have to go from attending 150 shows a year to 3, where I spent my whole life, my entire life, going to dog shows almost every weekend.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah, I don't know how I could possibly do that. Am I just going to go and just hang out and sell pencils? I don't know. And then I would get things like that. I'd be at ringside holding Johnny and someone would say, I thought you retired. Oh yeah. I'll go back to my porch and whittle you something if you want, but I'm going to show my dog first.
Do we still have the dog show drive pencils that we were selling?
Well, I sold them all at the airport.
Anyway,
I wrapped myself in a towel and sold pencils at the airport.
I think
my mom thinks I'm a lawyer.
I think it's very different if this is the situational thing. You cannot write a rule about this, Will, because it would make no sense. In your situation, that's just obvious. What if you're an all-breed judge who starts a campaign of dog every weekend? That's a different deal because now you're knocking off dogs that you're going to be beating and, you know, not putting up in the ring, and that can look funny.
Well, it all comes down to perception, and then you can't police integrity. All comes back to policing integrity. I don't know what the answer is. Like, crook's a crook, no matter what. And honest person is an honest person. But there's no, you can't, in the grand scheme of things, you can't differentiate them looking at them. You can't police it. So it's...
Yeah, you can't. But I think overall, the people that have been around long enough and have earned respect, they know. They look at people and go, that wasn't cool. And we registered that, and you're not going to ever be in the respected list.
Right.
You can tread those fine lines.
And it's such a fine line. A good friend of mine was an all-breed judge, and he was an older gentleman. And so he had a lot of history behind him. Well, somebody he had a relationship with years ago showed to him. I'm talking 30 years ago. Right? And there was a big uproar. Huh. And all he said to me is, who knows better what I like in that breed than this person? And he said, I'm damned if I don't put her up, I feel like I'm not being honest to myself, because that's the best dog in the ring. Yeah. He said, I was damned if I do and damned if I don't. It was, you know, there was no rule that she couldn't show to him. And so she chose to show to him. Well, he has to judge her. He has to judge her dog honestly. And he felt if he beat her in whatever class they were talking about, he was not being honest to what he was doing. He was not being the honest judge. But the perception outside the ring was, oh, you know, 37 years ago, I think they had dinner together at a hotel.
We'll never get past the conspiracy theory, people. Never get past it. Every time anybody judges a dog, there's going to be somebody out there going, well, you know, they've known each other a long time. Their sister's cousin went to the same shoemaker, all that crap. It doesn't stop. And you know what? I don't care anymore. I just don't care.
You just carry on, right? That's how I see it too.
Yeah. You just assume someone's going to say something about something you do. You just have to say, who cares?
Yeah.
I was in the ring giving out the ribbons. You weren't. You didn't feel what I felt. You didn't see what I see. Oh, you know, another thing I want to bring up, Will, is judging on the day. We talk about this so much in our sport, and we've mentioned it on the podcast, that I think people, they hear it so often, it just becomes something they don't register when they hear how important it is. I don't think there's a judge in the world who hasn't done this, an honest one anyway. Given a dog a big award and defeated that dog later on, or the day after, well, it wouldn't be the day after, but soon thereafter, or much later. Different surface, different ring, different everything, different dogs in the ring. Why would you think that you're being consistent because you put the same dog up all the time? You might be, but you might also be doing it just because you did it before. And even though the dog looks horrible on the day, you can just judge what you see before you.
That's right. And I just brought up, I was on my phone. I wasn't being rude to Wayne. I just brought up a quote from Jay Richardson. And it's a great quote, because you get caught in these situations where there's a class of 30 and you put this dog up that people think, how did he come up with that? Well, Jay always says, I've always told people I can't make them what they are not. I'm just here to sort them out.
That's a good point.
Isn't that good?
It's a real good point.
Yeah. So it may be exactly what he was looking for, but he has to make a decision. Mm-hmm. So,
and you do have 2 minutes maybe, and you've got a point. And we talked about this before, but if you don't have that template in your head, you have to think through every bone in their body, you're going to screw it up every time.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah.
You're going to get hung up on a part. Yeah. People always, people would say, I'm surprised you like that dog because it had a bad whatever. They all had a bad whatever.
Yeah, I liked it because it had a good whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. By the way, this is a sensitive topic.
Uh-oh.
I have noticed in certain breeds, do I even bring this up? Yeah, I do. Who's ever fixing tails poorly? I know that you're fixing tails poorly because, well, I've been around a long time. I'm aware that sometimes dogs are altered. I may or may not have witnessed the process, So you're not fooling me. I know a kink from a, I know a natural born kink. To me, I can feel a difference between that and something that wasn't a natural kink. Let's leave it at that. If you, I mean, it's brutal. Who are you kidding? Who are you kidding?
Well, yeah.
Let's bring that dog.
We've always had this conversation for years. So that practice has gone on for years. And you know, it's who's to say if it's still going on? Right. But, you know, it's interesting because someone said that a prominent dog, a sire that may have or may not have been altered. And someone said, as long as the question was, what was coming from the crowd was, well, people are going to breach that dog and they're not going to know that it's had this done to it. Well, most of us do know. And all the good breeders will say, oh, by the way, he may produce this, you know, I think, yeah. You know, it's.
Then you get a breed full of periscopes the next 50 years.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it right.
I'm not endorsing it at all. We're not condoning. We're not saying go out and have this done.
Just the opposite. But for gosh sakes, if you are so inclined, find someone who doesn't know what the hell they're doing. Anyway, enough of that.
Enough we'll be that. Right back, folks. Yeah.
With our lawyers. who are, by the way, Barry Manilow and Neil Diamond. That's the lawyer team we're using today.
Manilow and Diamond. The officers of Manilow and Diamond.
Which also sounds like a strip club on Dundas Street.
That's right. Put your hands together. Give a warm Manilow and Diamond welcome, too.
Oh, you missed that conversation before we hit record. It was a great one, ladies and gentlemen. We're so sorry. Someday we're just going to go with it and let that play. Stuff
just
go.
Press record. Let's just do this.
So sorry. Anyway.
Because they can't cancel us. It's our show.
Well, it's true. But you know, I want to inform the listeners of one thing. You don't pay for this. And remember, sometimes you get what you pay for.
And sometimes we pay for it.
Anyway, if you look back on the winners of Westminster 30, 40 years ago, you see that these dogs that were interpreted by the breed standard then, and we've talked about this before, are so different now. But I can't help but look in that ring sometimes and think, you know, maybe we've gone backwards in some breeds, but maybe we've made great improvements in others.
Yeah.
I posted some pictures recently of three really prominent winners from the 70s. And one of them probably is one of those breeds that I think we've improved. Two of them were breeds that I think we've gone backwards in. That's my personal read on it. And that's why we have dog shows. It's a subjective sport. And by the way, if you're an honest judge who's constantly learning, you change that template a little bit sometimes.
Yep.
And you go back and forth.
But it's also a generational thing, Wayne, because the handlers or the exhibitors of today, like you'll say, oh, well, Dugan was a better dog. Well, they never saw Dugan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they never saw Dugan. I saw Dugan too. He was a Canadian bred dog. I saw Dugan. Mm-hmm. Dugan's an Irish Water Spaniel. People, Oak Tree's Aristocrat, owned by Ann Snelling.
Best show at Westminster.
Best show at Westminster, owned by Ann Snelling, handled by William Traynor. And most of the prominent Water Spaniels go back to him now. You can pick them out. And
I can tell you that I've touched his legs in bathing situations, and there's lots of bone there. If you're sitting up in the beautiful bone. He was really an excellent dog. But if you're sitting in the stands thinking you're looking down in the ring and thinking that dog doesn't have enough bone or whatever, you haven't touched it, so stop.
Right.
Yeah, you haven't touched it. You can't feel the shape of the bone, whether it be blade or rounded or round. You can't feel how much there is when there's hair on it. So we have, you know, these armchair judges that make these profound comments on a dog they've never seen or touched. Dugan was one that I'm thrilled we got to see and touch, Will, because
I don't remember if I ever touched him. I saw him. I remember seeing him. But I was in awe. He was like a rock star at the dog show.
He was a rock star. I worked at Forsythe then, and but we always help each other. You know, that whole crew traveled together. But my first paid job in dog shows was watering and exercising dogs for Bull Trainer at Westminster. And you started at one end of the bench and you went down and then you went just like painting a bridge. Yep. You went back and you exercised and watered them all day long. I wonder how often these dogs get out if someone's so busy and their kids are on their phones today.
Well, I don't think there's anybody assigned to that like there was back then. That was like we had kids that came in, they were just for cleaning up, just for keeping the setup clean, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't an apprentice for Bill Trainer. Don't get me wrong. I was paid as a kid just to exercise and water dogs. And it wasn't, you didn't quite get filled in on the temperament of the dog. I remember the first time he had a poolie. And the first time I went in there, was it Pulick or Pulley? Is it Pulick plural? I think so. Who cares? We all know what they are.
Tomato, tomato. But...
And I remember it was the way the lighting was. I remember getting a leash and going, or, you know, an X lead and going, what end is, where do I put this? Mike, are there ears? Where's the neck? I mean, you know, they were different looking back then. I can tell you that, you know, they were one big ball of black hair. But that's changed.
Yeah. I always liked it. When I worked for Bobby and Linda, Bobby and Linda Stebbins, we had a poolie that we showed. And drawing him was one thing. He had, we had to put in the center of this crate and the air all around him trying to draw the cords. I don't know how they do it now. But I remember we had an issue. He had caught a cord on one of his crates and then the cord came out. And I'm like, oh, we lost a cord. It's all right. We'll just sew it back on.
Stitch right back on. Not a problem.
Right back
happens
on.
All the time. Happens all the time. But it's, you get, when you're, I mean, I probably was 10 or 12, probably 12. You don't know where, if there's, you can't tell where the ears are. And if you've really, and the last thing you want to do is let one go because you think you've got the lead on it.
Or let a garden winner go, for Christ's sake. Can't have that happen. Man. I get that.
It's all you can think of. I'm not necessarily thinking, I get to walk these great dogs. I'm thinking, I hope I don't lose it, Will. I hope I don't. Well, in the garden, I guess you'd catch them pretty quick. You couldn't even move as a human being in there.
Exactly. You know, you have to shuffle through. Mm.
Speaking of cool shows, I think I made that segue somehow. We have
a big segue, about 10 pounds.
Yeah. Very good. The corn is expensive. It's a buccaneer. Anyway,
that's all, folks. That's all over. We got.
Woofstock's coming up. And I want to mention that for two reasons. First of all, Kim Meredith does such a great job.
Yeah, she does.
You know, she's just so full of life.
Friend of the show, Kim Meredith.
And poise. Yeah. She does an amazing job there.
We should have her on one day. That'd be fun.
It would be. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Because she can wear your earphones.
Not these ones.
No, not those are special.
That's right. Special.
Yeah. I think they're called headphones, not earphones.
This keeps the aliens out of my head while I'm... They're made of tinfoil.
Is that why you're wearing a tinfoil hat?
Yeah.
Anyway, Woofstock, if you haven't been there, you've really missed an event. It's so much fun. It's not just that y'all dress up like old hippies, although that really sets the tone. It's the music that plays. It's the spirit of the place. You get into your, I can't stop. When I judge there, it's hard for me not to sing to myself or sometimes out loud while I'm judging. And that's not fair to anybody, Will. But still, you can't help it. And you'll see other people doing it too. There's just, it gets you going. There's such a whole vibe there that makes it feel so special. And more important, in the middle of all this fun, I don't know how they do it. This is the Bergs too. And I hate to just say Kim and the Bergs. There's plenty of people that make this happen. But the way it works, the way it fits, the way the rhythm of the place, It's a big spread out, hard to work show. If anybody else used these fairgrounds, they'd screw it up for sure. It's not easy because the rings can be really far away. But every time you're thinking, I wonder if I can get to that ring, some kid pulls up in a golf cart and says, hop on. It just all works. It just all works so well. And the thing that we talk about the spirit and the tie dye and all the cool hippie stuff. Look at the judging panels they put together out there. They're good. They're real good. And yep. I'm not saying because I'm judging there next month. I'm just saying. And
what are you going to wear?
I wore dashiki last time. I thought it'd be the only one. There were several dashikis. So I've got to go undashikied this time. Got to come up with something better. Something better, Will. I don't know. Maybe your headphones. We put some flowers on them or something.
Good thing I'm wearing these. It's giving us a topic.
I think I have a tie-dye Florida Panthers jersey. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go there. I'm sorry. Anyway, it's the judging panel and the quality of the dogs. At the end of the show, there's a setup during the breeds and groups for the judges that there's a spread of wine and cheese and food. You don't see that anywhere. There's those little touches that she does. They do for an outdoor indoor show that is just so cool. This is not the venue of a dream. This is made into an event of a dream because how cool it's done and put together. And the story of that club that was, I've told this before on the show and I've written about it, but this is a club that was bankrupt that they resurrected with just a handful of people. I think Kim told me she found Ken Berg in aisle 17 of Costco and begged him to come back and run the finance and all the other stuff that he does. It's just, it was such a great story the way it all came together and got put on the road. So pleased to be going there.
Yeah, and it will be fun, yes.
And then you and I have do that Cocker thing together, the Cocker specialty.
Well, that's in, when is that?
Well, that's not until September.
Yeah.
We're also doing Westchester together in September.
We're in Westchester together. We're in Newfoundland together.
Yeah.
And we're at the Bouvier National together.
St. John's, Newfoundland. Yeah, I do have it on my list now. So we've got some good ones coming up. We're going to be able to see each other without TV screens,
that's
Will.
That's right. I'm going to have to wear pants.
I always say to Cheryl, do I have to wear pants? Meaning not jeans.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What I mean, not jeans.
I'm not wearing pants.
The only time I don't wear pants is at a dog show. I wear jeans 24/7. I'm sure you're all dying to know what I wear.
Yeah.
When I'm not at a dog show. But
and what kind of jeans do you wear? Maybe we get a sponsor.
Well, it's a little embarrassing.
Uh-oh.
A little embarrassing. Cheryl bought me some Joseph Aboud or something like that. They're fancy jeans, Will. And she says they look better on me. So I wear those to dress up events, like ones where she's embarrassed of my other jeans, which are Wranglers. I think
good old cowboy jeans.
Yeah. I think they're $19 now. I think they've gone up to 19.
Yeah, but you know, Wranglers fit the best because they're cowboy jeans. You have to work all day in Wranglers.
So. I love them. And now
I gladly wear Wranglers on this podcast. I gladly wear them.
I have Wranglers on right now with a broken belt loop. I like them so much. I just tuck the belt loop in. Yeah. Now, and it's very important because no one else hit mute. Everyone else. This is just between me and Will. So please tune this out. Will, they have Wranglers with stretch waistbands now.
Really?
Okay, you can back and listen now. You can back and listen. But we're not wearing them.
No.
But I hear they do. So if you go out for dinner with your dog show friends and have spaghetti, and you're thinking,
I like spaghetti.
Yeah, I do too. But the elastic waistband comes in handy for a couple hours there.
Yeah.
By the way, that causes some consternation among folks. When you go to dinner together at a dog show, exhibitors can't sit at the table with judges. I don't think there's a rule about that. Maybe there is. I don't know. You just don't do it. And
I just don't think you can order the same dish, something like that.
Yeah. You can't both have the same fresh fries.
You both had spaghetti, and he's showing you tomorrow, and you're showing, and they both had spaghetti. I don't think that's appropriate.
And you both hang Wranglers with the elastic waistband. That's a sure clue your inclusion, a certain clue your inclusion. But the most fun part about a good dog show is going out with judges to dinner and you know who I miss terribly? We're going to get to the sad part of the show, unfortunately, we have to. I just miss Barbara Alderman so much.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We had so much fun.
It's just the best. And yeah. Whenever we were on panels together, although I'm usually shaving time to almost late for this podcast, I'm an early riser at dog shows. And I'd go down for the free breakfast at the Hampton Inn or wherever it was. And it would just be Barbara and me. Yeah. Because she's a real early riser and an early breakfast eater. And I miss those times. Every time I go down to breakfast now, I look around and say, there's a judge. They're not Barbara worthy. I'm just going to sit over here by myself. I miss her. I miss her terribly.
I have this one story about Barbara. I was sitting out front in a mall, sitting on the bench out front of the mall, in front of a lingerie store. And Barbara comes walking by. She sees me and she's like, "Hi, how are you? What are you doing here?" "I'm just waiting for the girls." Well, I was with I was with Kirsten and Courtney, and so they all came out with bags of stuff from the lingerie store. And Barbara always brought that up, that I was out there waiting for the girls in front of the lingerie store.
Well, I mean, I've seen you a couple of times waiting outside the lingerie store, and there are no girls in there that you knew. No women in there. You just hanging out there.
It's just a free bench. I was getting tired. My feet were sore.
And I landed at Pink. That's where I landed. Is that what it's called? No, I don't know. Victoria something.
Victoria's Secret.
Who cares?
I don't know the names of them.
Yeah. Anyway, we do have... Boy, it wasn't a shocker, I guess. The timing was.
Yeah.
We lost one of the all-time great judges, great characters.
Gentlemen.
Fun guy. Yeah. Yeah. So go on with it, Will.
Well, we lost Gerflik Pedersen this week. I don't know all the details. We all know that he gave up his Best in Show assignment at Westminster due to health reasons. But yeah. So we were all, it was a shock and it wasn't a shock, you know, it was still a shock to our family. So,
and I'm sure around the world, because he only moved to the States not too long ago in our relative scheme of time.
Yeah.
And he was respected and renowned all over the world. You know what I thought was really cool, Will, is a lot of times people will post when someone passes of that, you know, that high of a profile in our sport, they'll post pictures of the person who passed away or some, you know, basic memory stuff or cool pictures of, you know, that they make up on the post thing. A lot of people this time more than ever posted win pictures with that judge. And I thought that was cool because they were most proud, not that they knew him and hung out with him in a restaurant, that they won under him. And when you could win under Gary, that's a big win because he was so respected. I love looking at all those pictures, some old ones too, and some new ones, but just great stuff.
I interviewed Gary a while ago, and it was such an interesting interview. And I think he was from Norway, right?
Norway, I think.
Yeah. I think it was Norway. And he was one of his mentors that he started telling a story about taking a wire fox terrier over to help him learn how to trim it, was a gentleman that moved to Canada back in the 60s, Knut Egbert from Norway as well. And so it was almost like making the world small, because I won my very first group placement under Mr. Knut Egbert.
Did you really?
I did, yes. And I remember I was young. I was like 11 or 12. And maybe 10 or 11. Anyway, I was showing an Irish English Cocker. My dad was in the ring with the Irish Setter, and the biggest winning dog there was this Golden Retriever. And I remember he made a cut, and I had my English Cocker on the ground, and Mr. Egbert came walking down the line. He leaned into me and he said, "Do you want to beat your old man?"
That's great.
And I said, "Yes, sir." And I went second and my dad went third.
Is that right?
That's terrific. "Do you want to beat your old man?"
That's great. That's a great story. But Garrett he'll be missed in so many ways. By the way, he was funny.
Oh my God, yeah.
Really funny. And he had this great way of delivering these lines that were just hysterical. So I'm going to try my best to think of him in that regard and what a full and happy life he had.
But just his carriage and he was such a gentleman. He was someone to admire. There's no question.
He sure was. We have a lot of people in this sport, Will, when you think about it, how long it takes to earn that respect and reputation. And if you want to do it, you don't do it by pressing the envelope. You don't do it by being a crook. You don't do it by having dinner 5.5 months away from someone you showed 20 years before. You just have to take all those things into consideration. And most of the people that we have tremendous respect for, either consciously or subconsciously, are those who are selfish in the ring and only please themselves.
Well, that's right. And like we have characters in our head that we think are giants in this sport. And we never questioned their integrity. And they could be sitting right next to us having a beer. It was never a question.
Yes.
You just knew, and you still wanted to go in and impress them. And if you didn't win under them, it wasn't because, they know Wayne or they know it's because that was their opinion on the day and you never questioned it. And they still hung out with us.
It's just like anything else. It takes a long time to build that reputation and a long time to maintain it. And Gare certainly did. And he'll be greatly missed. He'll be greatly missed. I don't know. Other than that, Will, what else do you have coming up on the horizon? What are you doing this weekend?
Well, this weekend I have a dog show in Kitchener, Ontario. Where am I this weekend? Yeah. I have a dog show in Kitchener. It's driving back and forth. It's a show I've been going to my whole life, so I'm looking forward to it.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun. I'm going to, as I mentioned, Kokomo, Indiana.
And someone said to me, we'll take things fast and then we'll take something slow. I forget the words.
No charge for entertainment. Some people said to me, what about that? You're going from Westminster to Kokomo. Yeah. What's your point? They're both dog shows with great dog people, great clubs who put on an event. They put it on where they can and when they can. And I treat them both exactly the same when I cross that little gate and put my badge on.
Exactly. I always tell, because I've shown my entire life up here in Canada, and some people, everyone, best show in Canada. Jane Forsyth won her first best in show in Canada. It was on an Airedale in the Maritimes. And she always told the story that a dog show was a dog show, especially best in show, because no matter where you are, this is back in the day too, when there were only six groups, those six dogs that walked in the ring were all really good six dogs. So when you went best in show, you accomplished something.
Can we mention Kay Belter without sounding like we're pimpers?
Oh, yeah.
The problem with being judges, right?
I know,
If you say something, people think, they're going to put them up all the time because they're in the friend. Well, I don't care. I'm going to tip of the hat to a good breeder. Kay Belter bred the best of breed and best of winners at the English Cocker National this past weekend. And Doug showed one of them, I think.
Doug? Did she hire a handler named Doug? I don't know.
He hangs around.
Does he hang around
a lot?
Yeah.
Some people think they're an item. I don't want to push that.
I think he thinks they're an item. That's what it is. That's what it is. But
a tip of the hat to a great breeding program. Congratulations for all that good stuff.
That's an accomplishment. And it's they should be very proud. And I was very proud of them.
Now, do we know when the last time a black and tan English Cocker went best of winners at a national? I wish Kate Romanski was around. She would know, right? Unfortunately, she's passed. I hope I'm right on that. I'm pretty sure. But either way, there's not many historians in that breed anymore that could know that answer definitively. But you don't see many black and tan, English Cockers with tan points.
No.
You don't see them.
We had one here growing up, and Thor Brown showed him, and his name was Ahoy Frobisher Bay. He was a multiple group with English Cocker back in the 70s.
That French just rolled off your tongue there.
Oh,
French.
Yeah.
Want to do that again?
Ahoy Frobisher Bay. It's not French.
What is it?
Frobisher Bay is a bay in Canada, Frobisher Bay, and the dog is named Ahoy Frobisher Bay.
You had me fooled, Will. Yeah, I just thought
it's
took
the
so
accent.
Much French.
It's the accent, but yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like those French have a different word for everything. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm here all week, guys.
That's terrible. Hey, I had a great conversation, two of them, with Bruce Schultz this past week. You know, what can make you smile more than talking to Bruce Schultz on the phone? Yeah. He's so, his positive outlook on this world, you laugh all the time.
Oh,
you just can't help but laugh. And I mentioned to him, I said, you know, Bruce, with the interview that you and he did, Will, talk where he said, he was strident about it. And he said, you know, one of the reasons I have a great time at dog shows is because when the ribbons are placed, it's over.
Yep.
It's done. I don't get into this whole cutthroat behind the back, who wins, who doesn't thing. And it's so much easier. And he had such a great, long, and still does, great, long, happy career because of his outlook.
Yep.
Be like Bruce.
And he's an iconic figure in the spar sport. I go through, you know, we go through Facebook. Well, there was a picture of Bruce in the Irish Setter historian page this past week showing Rufus, Kimberlin's O'Kelly of Topo. I saved it. I made a copy. I'm saving that one. And it's in my file. Now, my Irish historian. So.
And when you talk about fine lines of when you're judging, if you're Bruce, and I've said that to him, when it was close and you've never bitched and moaned and complained to judges and you've never come up with conspiracy theories about why you lost, when you walk out of the ring with a smile on your face, win, lose, or draw, when you never complain, and it's close, guess who wins?
Right.
Guys like Bruce. Yeah. Take that under advisement, under consideration, young handlers and old handlers alike. You know, we're humans in there as judges, and if it's coin toss close.
Yeah.
Like, really, really close. If you're the guy that's always bitching and moaning and yelling at judges about how stupid they are, that doesn't work. The other thing works.
Oh, exactly. I remember going back to the show on the Sunday of a dog show under the judge who gave me second in group on Saturday. And when he handed me the ribbon, he said, I bet you're surprised. I said, oh, thank you. He said, later on, he was saying he was so close in the group before, and I never made a fuss when I went second. So
yes, yes.
I'm sure in my head I was making a fuss.
ribbon snatchers, boy, I'll tell you, you're not helping yourselves.
No.
You're just not helping yourself.
People
you go
have
back
memories.
To your van and you scream and yell and pound on your steering wheel. Then you put on your happy face and come back. We don't. The sport has no room for all that negativity. For gosh sakes, it's sport. If you're not having fun, if it's all fixed, quit. Go show guppies or something.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you show guppies still, Will?
Once in a while.
Just chickens.
Well, my chickens are out of coat right now, so I can't show them. So I'm rolling their feathers at the moment as we speak. I've got them all pulled down.
I love your chicken treadmill. That's pretty clever. Keep them in shape, right?
That's how I keep in shape.
On the chicken treadmill.
That's right, me and Rocky.
The fried chicken treadmill.
Anyway,
all right, we've wasted enough. You know what we sounded like this week? We sounded like Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Remember them?
No, I don't.
It was a car talk called Car Talk. It was on, I think, NPR. But all they did was laugh at each other because they thought each other was funny. No one else was laughing.
Yeah, my mother's turned us off by now. She's like, that's enough for that today.
We entertained each other today. I hope everybody's still listening.
Yep.
Anyway, all that and more on the Dog Show Drive. Please keep your spirits up. Keep talking to fun people. Talk to positive people. Let the negative people go crawl under a rock somewhere where they belong. We're going to have a good time in this sport. As long as I'm in it, I know I'm going to make it a fun sport for me. And I don't really care what you do with yourselves, except leave if you're not enjoying it. I don't know, Will.
Life's too short, brother.
Down the road. It is. It is very much so. We'll be seeing each other in person coming up. And meanwhile, we'll see each other
live in person. Don't forget the free lunch.
Yes. Don't forget to tip your bartenders and waitresses. All right. I'm done.
All right. Be safe out there. We'll see you down the road, guys.
Party on, Greg.
No way.
Way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Thanks for the thanks, sir.
So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right.
We love you, Ernie.
Thank you.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
Wayne! I'm gonna go!
Thanks, sir.
We didn't mention hockey either.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Put that in, Doc.
Yeah, they want to see it in a blueprint. This is good. We're going to be here in a second, Wayner.
Don't lose it, Doc.